And warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Israel Kim. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have the program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us to learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a daily devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. The next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more people from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. In the current time that we are living in, we love freedom. We desire freedom. Freedom is a state in which you can do anything you want to do without being held back by any external restraints. This is why most people think that freedom is doing whatever they want. They want to sleep, eat, and live whenever they want to. This might be the reason why people say that when the Bible tells them not to do certain things, they say that their freedom is lost, or that they don't like to be restrained. But what is true freedom? What is freedom to Christians? Does it mean I go to church and serve, but then live as I please? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Live like free people, but don't use your freedom to cover up evil. Live like people who serve God." The Bible tells us to not use your freedom to cover up evil, but to live like people who serve God. What does it mean to cover up evil? This means using your freedom to commit evil actions. After committing an evil action, the verse is telling us to stop ourselves from thinking that having freedom means that we can do anything the way we want to. Instead, he tells us to use our freedom to be like servants of God. What kind of things do God's servants do? The next verse shows us what type of things God's servants should do. It says, "To show proper respect to everyone, love the community of believers, have respect for God." It says to do this not only in front of good people, but also in front of people who are not kind. Additionally, whenever we are suffering unjustly, it tells us to think of God and basically put up with it. These actions should not be done because we have to do them. Instead, with our freedom, we should choose good things. Why? Why should we choose to do good things with our given freedom and live as God's servants? This is because we were chosen to do this. Also, Jesus suffered for us and left us an example, and the Bible tells us that he expects us to follow in his steps. And we have this freedom today as well. It is our freedom to choose between good and evil, and our freedom to either think or to not think of Jesus and follow his steps during unjust sufferings. Whatever you choose, it is your freedom. How are you using your freedom? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to live by following the example that Jesus showed us. At any point in time, we want to live by choosing your good will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's read the Bible. Today, Ashley E. from California will read the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 11 through 25 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Ashley. I'm 10 years old and I live in Cypress, California. Today I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. Let's read the Bible. Dear friends, you are outsiders and those who wander in this world. So I'm asking you not to give in to your sinful desires. Fight against your soul. People who don't believe might say you are doing wrong, but lead good lives among them. Then they will see your good deeds, and they will give glory to God on the day he comes to judge. Follow the lead of every human authority. Do this for the Lord's sake. Obey the emperor. He is the highest authority. Obey the governors. The emperor sends them to punish those who do wrong. He also sends them to praise those who do right. By doing good, you will put a stop to the talk of foolish people. They don't know what they are saying. Live as free people, but don't use your freedom to cover up evil. live as people who are God's slaves, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, have respect for God, honor the emperor. Slaves, obey your masters out of deep respect for God. Obey not only those who are good and kind, obey also those who are not kind. Suppose a person suffers pain unfairly because they want to obey God. This is worthy of praise. But suppose you receive a beating for doing wrong, and you put up with it. Will anyone honor you for this? Of course not. But suppose you suffer for doing good, and you put up with it. God will praise you for this. You were chosen to do good even if you suffer. That's because Christ suffered for you. He left you an example that he expects you to follow. Scripture says, he didn't commit any sin. No lies ever came out of his mouth. People shouted at him and made fun of him, but he didn't do the same thing back to them. When he suffered, he didn't say he wouldn't make them suffer. Instead, he trusted in the God who judges fairly. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. He did it so that we would die as far as sins are concerned. Then we would live godly lives. His wounds have healed you. You are like sheep wandering away, but now you have returned to the shepherd. He is the one who watches over your souls. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to us. He didn't argue or resist. Let his love reflect on us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
There's no God like Jehovah.
is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes each week. Here's the first episode.
When you're afraid, how can the Bible remind you of God's love and faithfulness? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Whether it's your boss telling you that, yes, you did that right, or a sign on the side of the highway that tells you, yes, you really did just get on the road going the right direction, reassurances are always nice to have. We're going to take a closer look at some of the reassurances we can get in God's Word today in our devotion written by Bethany Auker that's called Reassurances. When I'm afraid, the truths of Scripture demonstrate again and again that I can put my trust in God. In the Bible, God gives us many reassurances of His love and faithfulness. When we're stressed and uncertain about where life is going, we can find peace in God. Even when we don't feel God's presence, even when our fears are getting the best of us and we feel paralyzed, we can tell God about it. The Psalms remind us we can call out to God anytime something is weighing on our hearts or minds. He hears us in our desperation, our doubt, and our pain. The Psalms also remind us that God is the one who saves us. God is good, trustworthy, and kind. When I'm afraid, I can put my trust in God because He has proven Himself to me and to the generations before me. Not only did He create the world, but He also sustains it. He saved His people time and time again. He sustained the Israelites through famine, brought them out of slavery in Egypt, brought them out of exile in Babylon, and kept fighting to draw them to Himself. Along the way, God enfolded more people into the nation of Israel, people from Egypt, Jericho, Moab, and others. And He also revealed what He is like through the prophets who foretold God's plan, not to just redeem Israel, but also the whole world. Ultimately, God sent His Son, Jesus, down to earth to live among us as human and to die, because that's what it took to save the world. We don't need to be afraid because Jesus died and rose back to life to save us from sin and all its effects. Jesus, who is God, defeated sin and death on our behalf so we could live in union with God, who is the source of all goodness. Scripture reminds us that we do not need to fear. Instead, we can rely on God through faith in Jesus. The Bible shows God's goodness and love for us. It reveals that we can trust in Him and call out to Him at all times. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? When you're afraid, how can the Bible remind you of God's love and faithfulness? In what ways has God worked in your life and shown that He is trustworthy and kind at all times? As you and I can read in Psalm 56, verse 3, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in You." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Psalm 102, verse 17, as well as Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 32, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our Instagram page lately? We would love to connect with you. Just search for @UnlockedDevo for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and an occasional peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Until next time, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
Do you feel like God is inviting you to do something to share His love? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I have to admit, I'm excited about today's devotion because it's about someone in the Bible that has the same name as me. This one is actually about the Apostle Andrew. It's called The Seeker and is written by Anna M. Gregory. I think of Andrew, Peter's brother, as a seeker. When Jesus told His disciples to give the crowd of over 5,000 people something to eat in Matthew chapter 14, Andrew looked for a solution. I imagine him saying, "Jesus, here's a lad with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Not enough to really feed this crowd, though." But Andrew pointed the boy out anyway. When they offered Jesus what they had, He multiplied the food to be more than enough. Sometimes the things God wants to do seem impossible to us. But when God invites us to do something for Him, He provides a way. God gave me the desire to write for Him. I discovered words are powerful, so I learned to listen to people's stories. People like my friend Jane, who loved rainy days. Jane's husband was a farmer, and rainy days were his days off. When it rained, they got to go to town together. Jane was always prepared to go if it rained. Her story reminds me of Andrew. When Jesus said to him, "Come, follow me," Andrew dropped what he was doing and followed Jesus. I also learned to listen for God's voice speaking to me. When I read the Bible, I'm in awe of Jesus and how He told stories that still speak to people's hearts today. But Jesus didn't just tell stories. He is the hero of the entire story of the Bible. He came to rescue us through His death and resurrection, and now He invites us to follow Him and take part in His amazing story. In my own life, I wanted to tell people about Jesus, but I used to be terrified to speak to almost anyone who wasn't in my own family. So God provided people who helped me to overcome my shyness, helping me to speak and write for God. When God asks us to do something for Him, He will provide the training. As we rely on Him and seek His wisdom, He prepares us for what He calls us to do. Jesus never really sends us out empty-handed. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Do you feel like God is inviting you to do something to share His love? How might God be providing ways for you to do what He's calling you to do? How can you set aside time to seek God in His Word? Who are trusted Christians who can help you discern God's wisdom and encourage you to follow Him? As you and I can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, as well as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked, just like Anna did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow, because Emily is going to take a look at what doing good to others really means. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Down in the desert place, though I walk through the
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. When the people of Timnah found out about Samson burning their crops and fruit, they then, in revenge, burned both the father-in-law and Samson's wife to death. This gave Samson a perfect reason to strike the people of Philistine. There will be no one who would blame Samson for revenging on those people who killed his father-in-law and his wife. So Samson killed all the people who were involved in the death of his father-in-law and his wife and left Timnah. Then he went to a village in the tribe of Judah and rested in the Etam cave. While Samson was taking a rest, there was a big turmoil among the people of Philistine.
What? What do you mean all the men of Timnah were killed? What happened? An Israelite named Samson came and went to Timnah and killed all of the men of Philistine there. Oh no, that is such an embarrassment. How could we let something like that happen by a measly Israelite? How many soldiers of Israel were with him that he was able to kill all of the men in Timnah? It was not by an Israelite army. I was told Samson did all that by himself.
What? All the men of Timnah were killed by one man? By Samson alone? How is that possible? What a shame! What a shame! Gather the men! Go after Samson and capture him!
Yes, sir!
1,000 of the people of Philistine were gathered and they left to capture Samson.
We are told that Samson is hiding in the land of Judah, one of the tribes of the Jews.
Yeah, all right. We will make him pay for what he did.
1,000 men of Philistine went up and camped in Lehi, in the land of Judah. The people of Judah were startled to see so many people of Philistine in their land.
Officials of Philistine, what brought you to our humble land of Judah? Especially with so many men. You are not trying to go to war against us, are you?
We care nothing about you, cowards. But we were told that a lowly man named Samson is among you. He killed all of our men in Timnah. Isn't it only right that we avenge the death of our men from Timnah? Go and bring Samson to us or you will pay for your insolence.
No. Why do you say such a terrible thing? Pay for our insolence? What has gone wrong with Samson? He committed a horrible thing. How dare he fight against the mighty Philistines? Sure, you must avenge your people's death. Of course, we will go find Samson and bring him to you.
The leader of the tribe of Judah gathered 3,000 men and headed to the cave of Etam, where Samson was resting. This was a really sad event. 1,000 men of Philistine came to Judah possibly to go to war against them, but instead of planning to fight against the Philistines, the 3,000 men of Judah were gathered to capture Samson, who was fighting for them. 3,000 men of Judah arrived at the cave of Etam, where Samson was taking a rest.
Hey, Samson!
Oh, what's going on? What caused so many people to come to see me?
Samson, we just heard about a terrible thing you have done. Why did you kill the people of Philistine? Now they are gathered to make us pay. Don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Of all the places you could have gone to, why did you come to our land of Judah after what you did to the people of Philistine?
The reason I fought them was because they killed my father-in-law and my wife. I revenged their death. What is wrong with avenging for the death of my family? And let's keep one thing straight. You said the Philistines are rulers over us. What are you talking about? The only ruler over us is the Lord God, not the people of Philistine.
Well, your reason is not my business. Anyhow, you must come with us. Otherwise, our people will be killed.
All right, I'll go with you and let you hand me over to the Philistines to save you all. But promise me one thing. Promise me that you will not kill me yourselves.
Sure, of course. How can we attack you? We will end this if you come with us quietly and go with the Philistines. Thanks.
The people of Judah started to bind Samson with the strong ropes they brought with them.
Phew! That should be enough to hold you down tight. Sorry, but you will have to die for us.
Samson was bound by his brothers of the tribe of Judah and left the cave of Etam to be handed over to the foreigners from Philistine. We'll see you next time with the children's Bible drama Judges. Have a great week!
Program. Let's read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you!
Following is a program daily devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we'll listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotionals. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now, it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
God made us, and He's the one who says we're valuable. Jesus died for us to prove it.
No matter what anyone says, you're important because you're made in God's image.
Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. So I've got a question for you. Do you know what makes money valuable? Is it the paper that it's printed on that makes it expensive? No, money is valuable because the government makes it and then assigns a value to it. Now, that might be a simple explanation, but it will help you understand why you're important. See, every human being is valuable and has a purpose because every human being is created in God's image. That's right. He made each person, and because God made them, they are special. Just like it says in the book of Job, chapter 33, 4, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Let's listen to our story. It's entitled Priceless. When Tracy came home from school, Mom was unloading groceries from the car. "How about giving me a hand?" Mom asked. "Sure," said Tracy. When Mom opened the trunk, Tracy saw a huge watermelon. "I'll carry this in." After setting the watermelon on the kitchen table, Tracy hurried back to the car to see if Mom had gotten any other treats. She peeked in one bag after another. "There's one more surprise," Mom said, giving her a wink. "But first, let's get all the groceries into the house." While putting the food away, Tracy looked for the special treat. In the bottom of the last grocery bag, she found a carton of butter pecan ice cream. "Mmm, my favorite flavor," she said. "I bought a box like this at school today."
"In the cafeteria?" asked Mom.
"No, in our classroom. To teach us about spending and saving, our teacher set out empty food cans and boxes in the room," Tracy explained as Mom scooped out two bowlfuls of ice cream. "Then she handed out pretend money to play store with."
"How much money were you given to spend?" asked Mom.
$50, exclaimed Tracy. "But I only used 40. My teacher said I could keep the rest, see?"
Tracy reached into her pocket and pulled out a $10 bill. On the green play money was a picture of a cartoon character.
"I've never seen money like that before," said Mom.
Tracy giggled.
"Me neither. But I had enough to buy several things, including ice cream. Well, pretend ice cream."
"Your teacher created that money," said Mom, "and she's the one who determined its value. Real money also has value because our government, who prints money, says so."
"Then the worth is determined by the maker?" said Tracy.
"Right," said Mom. "And it's the same way with people. God made us, and that makes us valuable. In addition to creating us, Jesus gave his life on the cross to free us from sin. His Spirit lives inside those who trust in him, and one day when he returns, all believers will reign with him."
"Wow," exclaimed Tracy. "People are worth a lot."
"We're priceless," said Mom, handing Tracy a bowl of ice cream. They smiled at each other as they both took a bite. So how about you? Do you ever think that you're not important? Do you feel like nobody cares about you? Don't listen to that lie. No matter what you think and no matter what others say, God says you're valuable. He made you and Jesus gave his life to save you. You're worth the world to him. He loves you and wants to be with you now and forever. You're priceless because of him. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 33, verse 4.
"The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life."
And here is our key thought today. You are priceless.
Well, thanks for listening to Keys for Kids today. As always, I'm Zach. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
"I'm tired of fishing. We've been sitting here an hour and we haven't caught anything. Let's just go home."
Fishing takes patience. It's the same when you're fishing for people.
Hi, my name is Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad that you're listening. Do you like to fish? My brother and I love to go fishing, but sometimes we don't catch anything. You know, there's a story like that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Peter, who was a fisherman, hadn't caught anything until Jesus told him to cast his net out on the other side of the boat. When he did, he couldn't believe how many fish he caught. You know, Jesus wants us to fish too. But for people, he wants us to share the truth of salvation with everyone that we meet. Let's listen to our story now. It's all about fishing, and it's called A Fishing Trip. As Ming and Dad were fishing, Ming got restless. "We've been here for more than an hour and haven't caught anything. I want to go home."
That reminds me of a story in the Bible, said Dad. The one about how Peter and the fishermen fished all night and caught no fish. What? All night? Asked Ming in surprise. That's right, answered Dad. It was only when Jesus told them to cast the net again that they managed to catch any fish, so many the boat could hardly hold them. I wish Jesus was here right now, exclaimed Ming. Then we'd catch some fish. Dad smiled. Even though we can't see Jesus, he is with us. He helps us fish in a different way. After he performed the miracle in front of Peter and the other fishermen, he told them he would make them fishers of people. Fishers of people? What does that mean? Asked Ming. Well, think of it this way, said Dad. I grew up in Singapore, which is a multi-ethnic country. Over there, many people practice religions such as Buddhism, Islam, and Hinduism. Your grandparents used to worship Chinese gods and our ancestors when I was young. Really? I thought they had always been Christians, said Ming. Dad shook his head. No, I had never heard about Jesus until my best friend James explained the gospel to me when we were in middle school. I was confused and found it hard to understand the concept of one God. It wasn't until I went to college that I began to understand. I'm thankful to James for not giving up on me. He continued to talk to me about Jesus and invited me to church and Bible studies. Slowly, I began to understand that there is only one true God and that I needed to be forgiven for my sin. I finally trusted Jesus as my Savior and became a Christian. Wow, so Uncle James is like Peter having a miraculous catch? Said Ming. Exactly. Eventually, your grandparents became Christians too. That's what it means to be fishers of people. Jesus helps us bring more people to him. Just then, Ming noticed a tug on the fishing rod. Look, Dad, we caught a fish! Dad smiled. Jesus must have heard us. So how about you? Have you told your friends about the good news of Jesus? Do you feel like giving up when they don't accept it right away? Well, don't give up. Remember that Jesus is always there to help you. Keep telling others about him and showing them his love. Share what he's done to save us with your family and friends, and then trust him to do the rest. Our key verse is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19.
Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people.
And our key thought, tell others about Jesus. As always, I'm Zach, and as always, I'm glad you joined me today on Keys for Kids. We'll see you next time.
Here's Wednesday's daily devotional.
I bet Collins failed every math test this year. He looked like he was gonna cry when we joked about it.
Jokes are okay, but not when they make another person feel bad. Be kind instead. I'm Zach, and I'm so glad that you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids. I've got a great story and some scripture to help you grow your faith. You know, when I was a kid, I got teased a lot because I have kind of big ears. One time, just after getting a bad haircut, a bunch of kids from school started calling me Dumbo the Elephant. At first, I laughed along with them because I didn't want them to know that I was embarrassed. But later, I felt really mad and frustrated. Let's be careful not to make a joke at someone else's expense. Instead, we should build people up with encouraging words, just like Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Our story today is entitled, Just Joking. Landon and his friend Johnny went into the house to fill their water bottles before soccer practice. I bet Colin has failed every math test we've had this year, Landon said as he held his bottle under the dispenser. Yeah, said Johnny. And when we laughed and asked him if he could help us with our math homework, he looked like he was gonna cry. He can't even take a joke. Landon's mom frowned and looked like she was about to say something when Johnny said, We gotta go, Landon. Coach will be mad if we're late. They grabbed their gear and headed out. The next day, Landon worked on a birdhouse he was building. He was pounding a nail when, ouch, he yelled. He dropped the hammer and began to hop around, holding his finger and groaning. He looked up when he heard someone laughing. "You look so silly," his sister Sarah howled with laughter. "It's not funny," Landon wailed, hurrying into the house. "It hurts." As Mom put ice on Landon's finger, he complained about his sister's teasing. "That was so mean. It's not funny to laugh at someone's pain." "I completely agree," said Mom. "Which reminds me, I wanted to talk to you about what you and Johnny said in the kitchen yesterday." "You mean about asking Colin to help us with math? We were just teasing." "Sometimes teasing is very painful," said Mom, "especially when you're teased about something that hurts already. God never laughs at us when we feel bad. In fact, Jesus promises to be with us in our pain. He went through terrible suffering himself so he could save us, and he cares about our feelings. And he wants us to care about others when they're hurting, not laugh at them." Landon looked away. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt Colin's feelings. We were just joking around." "And sometimes joking around is okay," said Mom, "but not when it makes someone feel bad. I know you didn't mean to hurt Colin's feelings, but since you did, I think you should tell him you're sorry too." Landon sighed. "Okay," he smiled at his mom. "Maybe I should offer to help him with his math homework. No joking around this time." So how about you? Do you sometimes tease people and laugh at them? Joking around can be fun, but it needs to be fun for everyone. Don't make jokes that others might find hurtful. God says to rejoice with those who are happy and to weep with those who are sad. He says to love others the way he loves you. So be sensitive to the feelings of others, just like Jesus cares about your feelings and would never do anything to hurt you. Our key verse is John 13:34.
"A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another."
And here is our key thought for the day. Don't make hurtful jokes. Well, my name is Zach. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Keys for Kids today. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
A squirrel without a tail? I'll believe it when I see it. I bet Ivy's just making stuff up.
You don't have to see something to believe in it. You can trust in things unseen. Do you know what a doubting Thomas is? If you don't, stick around for Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Have you ever heard of someone called a doubting Thomas? That describes someone who won't believe in anything without absolute proof that it's true. The phrase comes from Thomas, who was a disciple of Jesus. He refused to believe that Jesus rose from the dead without seeing and touching Jesus first. Do you have trouble believing in things that you can't always see? In the book of John, Jesus responded to Thomas's doubts by saying, "You believe because you see me. Great blessings belong to the people who believe without seeing me." Our story today is called, "When I See It." "I'll believe it when I see it," said Cole, reaching for a slice of bread. "Oh, Cole, you always say that," said Ivy. "It's like your personal motto. You never believe anything. I really did see a squirrel without a tail." "When you think about it, we believe in quite a few things we can't see," said Mom as she passed the potatoes. "You believe in the wind, don't you? And electricity? Many important things in life can't be seen. Take love, for example. We see evidence of love in words and actions, but we can't see love itself." "Or friendship," said Ivy. "You can't tell by looking at a picture that someone is your best friend." "You can't know if a person is honest just by looking at them either," said Dad. "And what about believing in God?" said Ivy. "You can't actually see him." "That's true," Dad replied. "Remember Thomas from the Bible? He insisted he had to see Jesus before he could believe he'd been raised from the dead. Thomas eventually did see him, but Jesus said those who believe without seeing him are blessed. We believe through faith." "If we didn't believe without seeing him, none of us would be Christians," observed Mom. "That's right," said Dad. By the way, did you hear who became a Christian at Vacation Bible School last week? Pastor Baker told me Ellis Pratt trusted in Jesus. Ellis Pratt? Exclaimed Cole in surprise. I'll believe that when I see it. He looked at his family, frowning at him from around the table. I mean, come on, you know what he's like. You just wait, Cole, said Ivy. Soon you will see. You'll see the evidence of Jesus in Ellis's life. Just like we saw how he changed your heart when you were saved, added Mom. Cole was silent for a moment. Okay, he finally said. I know God can change him. He grinned. Tell you what, from now on, my motto will be, I know I'll see it because I believe it. Do you like that better? I think that's a great motto, said Dad. Because though we can't see Jesus now, we believe in him and know that one day we'll see him face to face. So what about you? Would you say you only believe in what you can see? What about something like the wind? You know it's there because you see evidence that it exists. And though you can't see Jesus, you can see the evidence of his love in the lives of Christians. Believe in him. He's real. And trust him as your Savior today. Then one day you'll see him too. For more information on what it means to trust in Jesus, just get your parents' permission first and go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse is found in 1 Peter 1:8.
Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him, you believe in him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
And our key thought today, trust Jesus though you can't see him.
I'm Isaac, I'm 10 years old, and I live in Brazil, and I love listening to Keys for Kids, especially when I'm doing my schoolwork. Thank you so much. I love listening to Keys for Kids.
And thank you for spending time with me. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
Why do we have to go home so soon just to go to church? I'd rather keep camping all day on Sunday, too.
A campfire needs wood to keep burning, like a Christian needs time with other believers. My name is Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids. There's a lot of activities going on during the weekends these days. You might have soccer games or tournaments for robotics club or even trips with your family. A lot of times those things happen on Sunday when churches usually come together to worship. When an activity that could keep you from church comes your way, what do you choose? It's important to go to church so that you can encourage your church family and be encouraged by them as well, just like it says in Hebrews 10:25. We must not quit meeting together. We need to keep on encouraging each other. Our story today is called Keep the Fire Burning. Camping is so much fun, Elijah said as he roasted a marshmallow over the campfire. Yeah, said Jasmine. I wish we didn't have to go home tomorrow. Can't we stay until Sunday, Dad? I'm afraid not, said Dad. I agreed to help serve coffee and donuts at church on Sunday. Elijah sighed. It seems like we always have to rush home from fun things so we can go to church on Sunday. I don't really see why it's so important to go every week. Murmured Dad. He took a long stick and pushed a burning piece of wood away from the crackling fire. Keep an eye on that while you finish your marshmallows, and then we'll talk about church. It's gonna burn out, Elijah said. He was right. When the kids finished their treats, Elijah pointed to the wood. I knew it would quit burning. Dad nodded. An ember removed from a fire loses its glow and its warmth, and the same thing can happen to Christians who don't regularly meet with other believers. Worshipping Jesus and learning about him with other Christians helps us feel the warmth of his love. It helps us glow with his light by reminding us we belong to him. But lots of people are old and sick and can't go to church, said Jasmine. Does that mean they lose their glow and warmth? Good question, said Dad. I think the Lord provides other ways to keep the embers glowing for those who can't go. Can you think of some? Well, listening to sermons online might help, said Elijah. Our church does a podcast of our morning service so people who can't come can listen anyway.
Reading the Bible and praying would help too, said Jasmine. We should all spend time with Jesus on our own. And sometimes when we're on vacation, we kind of have our own church service, Elijah said. We sing and read the Bible together and talk about God. Dad nodded. Yes, all those things help keep the embers of our faith glowing, but those of us who are able to attend church should not get in the habit of skipping it. He flicked the cold piece of wood back into the fire. We need the warmth and light being with God's people offers us. So, how about you? Do you go to church regularly? It's an important part of the Christian life. Church is where believers can worship God together. They can encourage one another in their faith, and they can pray for each other. It's where your brothers and sisters in Christ can remind you of God's love so that you can shine His light in the world together. So keep the fire of your faith burning bright by going to church. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25.
We must not quit meeting together, as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other.
And our key thought, attend church regularly. If you ever have a question about what the Bible says, I would love to help you answer it. Your question could also be featured in an issue of the Keys for Kids print devotional. Send me your question today at keysforkids.org/heyzach. Well, as always, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you'd read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye!